All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are live. Proud to present to you the one, the only, Dominic Mueller. Give him a hand, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! Yeah! What's up? It's me, Dominic. You don't know me. You shouldn't know me, right? Because we've never met before. Maybe. If you're at home and you know me, don't say anything, right? That's not a threat. Don't worry about it. Anyway, welcome. First episode. This is the pilot, so if it's bad, then we throw it out. And we move on to episode one. Doesn't matter. This is a test run, right? I got here 10 minutes ago. No, 15 minutes ago, because the door was locked, and I was outside for about 30 minutes. So that was fun. But you know what? Hey, we're live. We're here now. Welcome. Now, a little bit about me, right? I hate icebreakers. There's those people who are like, obviously, you know, I love taking long walks on the beach, and I have two dogs, one named Jeffrey and one's named Jeffandrew or something like that. Look, no ill will to them. I love those type of people, but that's not me, right? I'm kind of blunt with it. I kind of go in deep. I generally can't connect with people because the thing is that I like a lot of niche things, all right? And that's the scoop. That's the hidden scoop there. But today, I'll be able to do something I've never been able to do before. Force people to sit down and listen to my hyperfixations. This is the show for it. This is the show. I've been bouncing around a few different title names, right? A few people, my sister recommended me Nerd Noise. It's fine, right? I've been thinking something more along the lines of, like, I don't know, Brainwave, the one brain cell that's bouncing around my head at this exact moment. There's a lot of different names, but for now, it's just After Class with Dominic. That's what you're getting right now. And right now, at this exact moment, you're getting me in my most unadulterated, absolutely just, you know, scatterbrained self, as it were, right? So a little bit about me, right? A little bit about me. What is there to say, really? I like video games. There you go. And that's what the topic's going to be today, I think. We'll see. I'm kind of winging it at the moment. So, right now, the main general idea that I had is that I'll go into a specific hyperfixation and try to connect with you with it, you know? Like, obviously, you don't have to know video games or music or books or literature or anything like that. I'm gonna shoot it. I'm gonna give it a shot. And then maybe you can follow along, and then maybe I'll try to lead you along. Maybe I can find some connective tissue that allow us to engage together, you and I, together forever, for 1,000 years. But, yeah, I think it's about time we get into it. A little icebreaker, though. Pizza, right? Here's the thing, right? You can put whatever you want in your pizza, and it's completely fine. People specifically go after other people for not putting pineapple on pizza, not putting pineapple on pizza, putting anchovies? I don't know. And at the same time, pizzas are just glorified open-faced sandwiches, all right? That's the general gist. If it's an open-faced sandwich if you put it in the oven. That's all it is. And people are going after each other even though it's just simple as that. You put your tomato, it has to have the essential tomato sauce and cheese on it, right? But at the end of the day, I feel like this hyper-obsession with being right, you know? Being able to discourse with other people about whether pineapple is good on pizza or anchovies are good on pizza, that's completely up to you, and that's completely fine. That's your opinion, but other people don't share that opinion. I'm sorry to tell you that, right? Now, I'm fine with whatever. You can put whatever you want on the pizza, and I'll eat it, because it's pizza. You know, it's one of the best foods that you can conceive of, because it's just grease. In a solid form, in a solid mass, it's beautiful. I fear the day where I'll become obese because I just love that stuff way too much and I'll just eat whatever is on my plate. I have a big problem with that, but that leads us into our real topic for the day. There's a video game I've been playing recently. It was kind of a popular hit about 9 months ago, where there was a gigantic fan base around it, and then it kind of just faded into the background. It wasn't necessarily like it went out with a bang or anything like that. It's not like the entire fan base was eviscerated into a fiery inferno. No, it was just a simple regression in its popularity. Pizza Tower is an interesting game because it kind of just exists on its own, but at the same time, it is a reminiscent, introspective look on 90s video games and music. You were listening to the thing I hopefully was putting on the radio earlier, the intro, right? That was a song from the soundtrack of Pizza Tower, the opening card. And there's a lot more hits like that. They love bouncing around, but the main homestead is heavy rock, and maybe a bit of prog rock, and also jazz, and all that kind of stuff. Let's go into the plot of Pizza Tower. How about that? Hold on, let me get in closer. Let me do some ASMR. Hey, how's it going? You doing good? How's school? You doing all right? Hopefully midterms aren't kicking your butt right now. I mean, they're sure as hell are kicking mine, but you know what? Who's judging at the end of the day, you know? Anyway, let's begin. Pizza Tower follows the protagonist, a humble pizza parlor owner named Peppino. And his plight begins on a very bad note. It's kind of like a one of those Greek tragedies. He can't pay rent. I know, it's sad and very relatable. But his world changes when the main antagonist, a anthropomorphized pizza face. No, I mean like an actual pizza. You can look it up. Pizza Tower pizza face. It's a literal face, like, made into whatever. The main whole point is that the pizza face will destroy the pizza parlor if he doesn't. I don't know. It doesn't really tell you because it doesn't. There's no dialogue or anything. But like, he retreats and Peppino chases him down to the Pizza Tower, where it's a bunch of different levels scattered around the Pizza Tower. You go door to door, hoping you can eventually save your establishment, your pizza pie establishment, and hopefully get some something. I don't know. it's interesting because this game itself is so weird. It bounces around between acting like an actual game and being a 90s cartoon, like a la Ren and Stimpy and Ed, Edd n Eddy. It's bizarre in its presentation because it somehow works. You get games, like for example, Prince of Persia. I expect no one to know what Prince of Persia is, but if you do, you get what I'm talking about, where they have a set amount of animations within their game, right? So whenever you do an action in the game, your character animates, right? It walks, it moves feet, all that stuff. And if it didn't, then it wouldn't be a video game. It'd just be like a moving picture or whatever. The problem is when you have too vivid of animation, right? Because the more specific you get with the animation, the more realistic the animation is, or the more lively the animation is, the more it takes away the controls from the player, because it takes time for the animation to play. And if you're trying to do precision platforming, that's not good, because if you try to grab a ledge when you're still in your walking animation, because it didn't finish in time, then you're not going to grab that ledge. You're going to fall to your doom. But this game somehow, and it's very, what's the word? It has to be like, I don't know. Grotesque is too negative. I feel like it's more so like Hold on, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Give me a second. Give me a second. Just Lucid. There, that's good enough. Good enough. It's so lucid in its presentation, but at the same time, it is able to actually feel good when you're controlling it. Another game it's also similar with is WarioWare, which I've never played before, because it's a game that Nintendo put on, not WarioWare, what's it called? Wario Land. It's a game that they put on their shelf for 10 years along with all the other ones, and they've never touched it, even though there's an entire fan base that'd be frothing at the mouth for another sequel for that game. But the main thing that it has similarities with Wario Land, is the fact that your movement set, constantly changes level to level. Like, just to give you a few examples, there's this one level, I think it's called Pizzascape or something. It's a knockoff of RuneScape, and there's a sword in the stone. You pick it up and you get a suit of armor. So you're very slippery, so whenever you're on, like, a slope, you immediately slide down and continue momentum until you bonk into a wall. It's fantastic. All these, somehow, they're able to present themselves in a isolated level, but also at the same time feel so good to control, one, and also not overstay their welcome. Because you have games like, for example, Mario Galaxy, for example. That game is fun. Its movement is pretty fun. Don't get me wrong. But last from what I remember, they get so weird with their power-ups. You become B Mario, and that's it. And then it moves on to the next thing. It seems too spread out. You don't get enough time to play with the mechanics of the game. In Pizza Tower, that's not an issue. Because the thing is that there's a ranking system. Oh, there's a ranking system. You can go all the way up to A and an S and then a P. And there's also a combo system. So what P means is that whenever you have to play the level, you have to keep your combo out through the entire... It doesn't sound that bad with not playing the game. Look at some gameplay. Look up Pizza Tower all P ranks and see what the people are doing. Look at them. They're legends, and I can't compete. I'm usually good at video games. I've been trying for the past, like, day, and I still can't get a P rank in any level. Unfortunate, really. Hold on. Now, I do want to look... What I will do, because the levels are really funny. So let me look up some levels, and I'm just gonna rattle them off, maybe give them a little ranking for each of the, alright, so the game, the first level, John Gutter, right? Just a little context, in the game, there's, game is structured like this, right? You have your level, you play through the level, that's great, and at the end, there's a diabolical creature named John Pillar, which is holding up the level, right? When you destroy John Pillar, the level starts to crumble around you, and a timer starts, and now you have to go back through the level and beat it in a certain amount of time, which is really fun, because the soundtrack, that specific soundtrack for that level is so fun. It's so much fun. I'm going to play it in, like, 10 minutes, and you're going to have a blast with it. It's... The music nerd inside of me froths at the mouth for that. Like a Nintendo nerd froths at the mouth for a new Nintendo product they finally get off the shelf after being dusty for, say, 20 years. Anyway, John Gutter. I give that a solid B. It's not the greatest level, it's the first level. I think it's probably a lot of homesteads from the demo. But yeah, pretty good level. Next, Pizzascape, the one I mentioned before. The power-up is pretty fun in this one. And, it's just a ripoff of RuneScape. I never played RuneScape. That's the thing, right? It just seems way too grindy for me. And I play mobile games. I know how it is, alright? I understand. You want player retention. Obviously, it's more about the community rather than the actual game itself. But I don't want to be sitting there killing rats for 20 hours. I'm going to do that when I have my own apartment in New York, and then I'm going to be belting them with a belt or something. I don't know. Point is, Pizzascape Soliday. I like that one a lot. Ancient Cheese, I completely forget about. I think there's, like, falling platforms in that one. Ah, see. Blood Sauce Dungeon. Also pretty forgettable, but pretty fun as well. Gotta say, though, Flying Anchovies. That's one of the enemies in this game. It's fantastic, but solid B minus maybe. So at the end of each, so the tower is kind of structured like this. There's levels inside of a hub area, right, where you can go to specific levels you want, and at the end, you have to collect enough money in each of those levels in order to unlock the final boss in that zone, right? It's a bit confusing, but when you play the game, you understand. And you should play the game. It's only like $20. Come on. What are you going to spend that money on? What you're going to get one Starbucks? You're going to get one Starbucks. Is that what you're going to get with it? Anyway. The bosses are kind of bland, I guess. The soundtracks for them are fantastic. Peppermint Strikes is probably one of the best songs in the entire game. But the bosses themselves are kind of disconnected from the actual levels. This is a problem I see in a lot of indie games. Take Ultra Kill, for example. There's a lot of video games I play, and I'd have not enough time to talk about them, so I talk about them here. But anyway, the thing is that most of the time, the levels are really easy, and then the bosses take you at least, like, 100 tries in order to get. And that's usually how these indie games go, because they're supposed to be like a final gauntlet, but at the same time, they don't really test you, excuse me, sorry, on anything really valuable that you've learned in these levels. In my opinion, they should be more like widespread. They should be just another level, but with a final boss tacked on to the end of it or something like that, you know, or something that follows you for the entire level. I think the second final boss does this really well. But anyway. The first boss, Pepperman. Fantastic name. But, mediocre boss. He's an egomaniacal painter who takes more value in his art than anything else. So, gotta give that one a B, maybe? Give or take? I don't know. Oregano Desert's pretty fun. I played this one recently. And I gotta say, the fire power-up, pretty fun. I don't like the storms, though, the timing on them, and the cows! God, I hate the cows! Because whenever you get touch a cow, they kick you back, and you waste time doing that. And I hate them with a burning passion, and they stare at the screen, and they look at you, look up Pizza Tower cow, and tell me you don't hate them. Anyway, I give that one a B. Not bad. Waste Yard, oh my god. This has to be a reference. There's this one movie that my friend showed me a while ago where there is a main character who is stranded on an island a la, like, what's that one other movie? I forget. Point is, there is a corpse that he brings around and pretends that he's his friend, but at the same time, at the end of the movie, it's revealed that he's real? I still have no... He showed me clips from that. I still don't understand. But the thing is that the corpse is played by, the guy who plays Harry Potter and the Harry Potter stuff. I have no clue who he is. But point is, it's a pretty fun level. You get to surf on corpses. That's where he probably got the idea from. Fun Farm. I didn't rank that one. That's a B+. B+. Fun Farm, right? This level has a little backstory, a little lore to it. Now, the creator of the game licensed a PS1 game, a PlayStation 1 game, called Mort the Chicken. No one in their lives remembers Mort the Chicken. I don't remember Mort. I wasn't born when Mort the Chicken was alive, when he was kicking, right? And he was dead in the ground for a bit, forever, practically. On arrival, because no one played the game. And the creator of the game was like, hey, can I license your character, your titular Mort the Chicken character? And the creator of Mort the Chicken was like, yeah, sure, why not? So you got Fun Farm, where one of the power-ups, you get Mort the Chicken, who plays kind of like... you get a double jump. It's not bad, but he's on your head, and he kind of acts like Ratatouille in that kind of sense. It's a fun one. I give that one an A for sure. Fast Food Saloon. Now here's the thing. The horse, and during the level, you have to race a wooden horse. I hate the wooden horse so much. He's so smug when he wins, and I don't like him. It's a C. It's a C for me. The boss in this zone is the Vigilante. Now, I hate the gunplay. Here's the thing. Pizza Tower is a fantastic game, but the only thing it misses on is the boss battles. I've said this already, I know. But I feel like the boss battles by themselves are lame. I know all the pizza heads in the audience are raving and rolling on the ground, doing worms on the ground. I know, I understand. But listen, right? Listen close, right? I don't like the boss battles. I'm sorry. The boss battles suck, right? And this one's no different, because I hate the gunplay. You have to smash the button whenever you're trying to shoot from your tiny pistol they give you. And the hitbox sucks as well, because it's a tiny, like, I don't even know what it is. Is it supposed to be like a cheese curd? I don't know. Who's the Vigilante anyway? Look at him. He's so smug. He's probably in like his mid-50s, and he probably has like a wife that he looks... That he looks down at from the little wallet that he has on his pants, on his jean pants, and he sheds a little tear because they're dead. They died 20 years ago. All right, next, Gnome Forest. This one's a fun one because it introduces the other character, the side character in this game, Gustavo and his frat friend. Throughout the game, you see their tenuous relationship grow and grow. First enemies turned into friends. And I have to say, it's really fun because you get a double jump. He rolls on the little rat like a little rolling ball, and he just like in Indiana Jones. It's so much fun. It's a really fun level to play, and also the aesthetic of Enchanted Forest is really fun as well. We're almost through here. I'm just gonna blaze through it now. Deep Dish 9, I give that a solid B. It's just aliens. That's about it. Golf. It's literally golf. The thumbnail looks cool. The title, the opening card looks pretty good though. Just go to the Pizza Tower wiki and look up list of levels. It's a fantastic romp. You're gonna have a great time here. The noise, if you don't know, this is a clear parody of the 80s Domino's mascot, the Noid. The Noid was a campaign that they ran for a bit, an ad campaign they read for a bit, where there was a antagonist called the Noid who would ruin your pizzas, right? And the only person... The only company who was able to avoid the Noid was Domino's. Every other company got their pizza mushed, and that's why the pizza looks bad when it comes in. It was better marketing back then. But the real meat of that story is later down the road, I think a few years after the ad campaign, there was a guy whose last name was the Noid. I'm not sure. I didn't read this in a while, so don't quote me on this. But there was a guy who, paranoid thinking, just realized he was Noid was paranoid. Anyway, he was paranoid that they're mocking him. He was paranoid that he was mocking him, so he stuck up a Domino's and demanded that they make him a pizza for free, $100,000, and a getaway vehicle. And get this, the reason he was caught was because he was too busy eating his pizza. He was in the establishment while he was holding these people hostage, enjoying his pizza, while he was dreaming like, oh yeah, they're gonna get me that $100,000 and that getaway vehicle, right? I'm gonna be living the dream. I'm gonna go to New Mexico and I'm gonna live a life frivolously. But they caught him. Obviously, they caught him. Yeah, and then they had to get rid of the Noid. I think they made a return, though. There was, like, a promotional thing with Crash Bandicoot. And I was like, what? Why are you bringing him back? Anyway. The Noid, I give a solid B. He's a fun character. He sticks the middle finger at you when he's doing his little taunt. It's great. The Pig City. this is the most plot-oriented level. Because you just see Pepino going through the basic equivalent of New York, as you have to beat people, pizza smoking giant joints and pig men, and then you get thrown in jail and you have another Gustavo session. I love those Gustavo. That's a solid A right there. Pepperbot Factory. That's, I think this is the first level where you see the real meat, the cloning facility where they're cloning Pepinos. To do what? I don't know. The entire game is kind of centered in this kind of framework of a 90s show. So in the top right corner, you constantly see a TV and you see his face doing little expressions based on what you're doing in the game. It's really fun to just look at and laugh. But yeah, cloning. I don't know. Each of these levels could be their own episode. I am imploring either Netflix or any other streaming service to make a pizza tower show, all right? They need to, right? They need to, because they did Cuphead. They did Cuphead, which was a rubber hose kind of style game, which should have been a show, and it was. And it was kind of mediocre from what I heard, but it's still a show. And even if it is mediocre, I still want a pizza tower show, right? It's just too good to pass up on. Come on. You give him like a year, and then bada bing, there's gonna be the pizza tower. It's gonna be beautiful. It's gonna be great. Anyway, Pepperbot Factory. I give that a solid B. I'm completely honest. I forget. I think you turned out into a pizza box. I think so. I'm not completely sure though. Anyway. Is kind of interesting. Because it's literally just a sewer level. I usually hate sewer levels, but in this one it's fun because there's, like, pipes. And you go down the pipes and it conserves your momentum. Oh, that's another thing! I forgot, yeah. Another thing about this game is that a lot of it is also reminiscent of Sonic, in a weird sense. It does it better than Sonic. I don't know how they do it. It does it better than Sonic, because the thing is that the entire game is based around momentum, right? Because there's a dash button, but you don't want to use it all the time because it conserves your momentum throughout, and the faster you go, the more likely you're going to go run into a wall, right? But the great thing is that there's so many different movement options to your disposal that you can easily maneuver between all of them. There's a nice comparison that I've seen online where they compare Pizza Tower to another indie game called Celeste, and these mimic the different styles of platformer. Mario and Wario, right? Mario is more level-oriented. The challenge is not really in the movement set, but rather understanding what the environment is and using that to your advantage. While Wario is not really centered on the level, but rather you and your movement set. You constantly change movement sets, and you have to get used to them in very quick time because of that timer that keeps ticking down. And to preserve your combo if you're going for an S rank or a P rank. But yeah, this level I'd give a solid B. I'd give a solid, solid B. Refrigerator. RRF. I don't want to pronounce that. That's way too long of a level. They really missed on that one, honestly. But the level isn't too bad. It takes place in a giant refrigerator. And at the end of the level, you have a transformation that's pretty neat as well. But yeah, I give that a solid B-. B-plus, actually. I changed my mind. You don't control me. All right. Now, the final boss, the second final boss, technically, before the final boss, Fake Pepino. Well, we've discussed a little bit about the background of a cloning facility inside the pizza tower. And now they're trying to clone Pepinos. This takes the game and turns it into a sort of horror, not horror game, but like kind of thriller, because you just fake Peppino puts you ill at ease, I think. Just his design, his grotesque eyeballs kind of oozing out and his skin just like flaking off. It's a perfect design, and I think this is probably one of the best bosses in the game. Not only in its presentation, but also in its mechanics. Since it just ramps up every single phase. Phase 3 gets... I'm not going to spoil it. You can look it up yourself. Fake Peppino Phase 3 is really fun, even if it's very short. Pizza Scare. Now, the thing is that Exorcist reference. It's great. But it's not the greatest. I mean, you know. It just gives you like an invincibility star mechanic. It's not that interesting, but the level itself is pretty fun because there's a ghost falling around the entire level, a pizza ghost, obviously. But yeah, I'd give that a solid B. Don't Make a Sound is an obvious parody of Five Nights at Freddy's, where you have to go around and constantly you're being chased by these animatronic pizza toppings. The second part of the level is so fun. I'm not going to spoil it because it's just so much fun. But you know what? Yeah, screw it. You get a gun. Look, if I don't care for Five Nights at Freddy's, right? It's just a game to me. It's not scary. It's not anything to me. It's just a game that got a little overhyped, right? But if you had a shotgun in that game, if you just had like a double barrel in that game, I think that would bring it up so much, in my opinion. Just being able to like shoot off just like bits of like bolts and wires dangling from them as you just like, you know, solid ass in my opinion, great level. Another solid ass, War. Trench warfare is real in this game, and it takes part in specifically this level, where you have to go into the battlefield, infiltrate the facility where they're cloning you, Peppino, and destroy them. This is the only level where the time limit starts immediately, so you have to be... This is probably one of the hardest levels in the game. Not even the final boss is not as hard as this one. And last but not least, the final level. I'm not gonna spoil it, but you're gonna listen to the soundtrack for this, and you're gonna melt in your seat. All right, this is the perfect ending. They do the boss rush cliche so perfectly in this final act, and it just culminates perfectly into a final crescendo of wonderment. And of course, the final level is you actually going through... It's a very creative process of you going through all the hub worlds, and it's treated like an actual level. It's the first level game I've actually seen do that. And it's a very interesting mechanic. You can look it up. The Crumbling Tower Pizza Tower. It's a fantastic thing. All right. And that's all the levels. Fantastic. Now, the music, right? The music is something else. It's a crock pot of everything in the 90s, right? You have chiptunes, you have heavy metal guitars, you have so much phasing and digital effects to just put it all together. It should never work, but the music nerd inside of me looks at all these elements and it just melds together perfectly. There's no point in me discussing this, because you could just hear it. So we'll listen to some nice tunes, and I take a little break. How about that? See you on the other side. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to wrap up here, but before we go, I want to give a little closure to all this. Why do I go on and on about video games that no one's ever heard of, huh? What's the point? I feel like nowadays the landscape of the internet is so vast that even if you find some glimmers of gold, there's just a massive piles of dirt on top of it that you have to dig for in order to get to it, right? I'm hoping that this show will eventually turn into an excavation site of some sort. Being able to pull out the dirt and being able to put it on a pedestal and for everyone to look at and appreciate, right? And that's what I'm trying to do with this. Maybe I did poorly? Who knows? I don't really care that much. But hopefully, you buy the game. It's only $20. Like, come on. The AAA games nowadays are way too expensive anyway. Come on. Anyway, I'm about to sign off. Hope you guys have a fantastic day for the next 9 minutes. We're going to put some nice tunes on. Final boss theme. Fantastic. Just marvelous soundtrack. Take a listen to the entire thing when you have time. That's about it. I hope you guys have a pleasant night. Good luck on those midterms.